Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Beautiful Friday morning here. We got a great guest, Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette, and another great guest, Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine. Mark.
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
I did not know this. We have a professional soccer player.
No. Semi-pro.
Semi-pro, okay. But I got to think semi-pro in the Dominican Republic.
It was pretty good.
It's pretty good level.
But now they do have a professional league now. And, I was not at that level.
Okay.
I got to be honest.
Hey, Mark, if I was in that level, I would, exaggerate it so much you can't even believe.
Well,
I was just going to say, John, when you said professional soccer player, I knew we weren't talking about you.
No, we weren't. I think I would have been good, though. I think that with my body type, that would have been the sport for me. Don't you?
Mark? Okay, what else?
Crickets.
Hello, Mark. Dude. Crickets. Todd, you lose the reception here?
He has something wrong with his phone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Whatever.
I'm sure.
All right. But, Mark, we were talking about this, but I wanted to bring this up with soccer. That's one of those underrated sports in regard, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's a lot of injuries that come from soccer.
Well, yeah. I had so many on my sprained ankles. My first one was on the left one, and it was so bad. And then I have two others on that foot and two on my right.
They never go away. Why is it when you get a badly sprained ankle? I got one in high school, and then I got I could do the slightest things, and they get sprained again. They never really heal, do they?
No. I don't think so. And you get desperate, too. And you take away your cast,
which is what I did with my first one. Yeah,
because I wanted to play.
Isn't that one of the most underrated injuries for the longevity of how long that's going to bother you, a sprained ankle? We laugh about it, but it's like, those are bad.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, what it is, you're able to play through them, but you just, what a lot of people do, you fail to do the rehab to strengthen or to keep the swelling down. And those are the little things you can do. I think sprained ankles bad. I tell you what, I think with a sport like soccer, if you get a quad strain because you've got a one run and then two with kicking the ball or a hamstring strain, those are the challenging ones for soccer players.
Yeah,
that
and the knees.
Put them out sometimes four, 6 weeks.
But it's like there's no minor soccer injuries. When they happen, and let's be honest, some of the guys exaggerate it so that they, get the yellow, the other guy gets yellow. But, those knee injuries and hamstrings and things like that, they can really change your life as an athlete, can't they?
Yeah, they can. It's when, and like you said, as you get to the higher levels, college is one thing, big games and you want to be there. But then, too, you become a professional and you're getting paid and you want to showcase your talents. But, if you're playing even just one or two games a week, that's a big challenge and holds you back.
Ariel, let me ask you. So you say soccer, baseball starts at a very, very young age in Dominican Republic or Cuba. Both of them are just really more DR?
Both.
Let me tell you.
They're the two major sports, right? In both countries?
In the DR, baseball and volleyball.
Volleyball.
Yeah.
This is what I want to ask because we have
Hey, Mark, that would be the last sport I would be a professional
and
athlete.
And basketball, too.
Yeah, that's the second last. but do you have that kind of sideline hospital healthcare? Bellin Sports is at, they lean in big time with high school.
Unbelievable.
And even younger. They're there. They got trainers. They hold seminars and you almost got a medical staff on the field at pretty much every game. Do you have that same thing over in those two countries?
It depends. If you are part of you go to a private school.
Elite.
You get some healthcare and also your parents through their jobs get healthcare. It's not that cheap and it's not really that expensive.
I was asking though, Ariel,
but they have the technology and the good doctors.
I understand. Are they on the field when you're playing?
Oh no. No, that has changed in the last few years, but in the past it was just you, for example, when I had my first sprain, they would just carry me after the game and take me to the hospital.
That's the difference here with Belen. I mean, they are there on the field at the game, before the game. You know, they so
yeah, the professional sports.
And I'll tell you guys on a whole nother thing with I did some work with in the minor leagues for baseball, and very talented individuals coming out of the Dominican and Venezuela and those parts. But it wasn't always the body parts that were injured. Sometimes what it was nutrition. What kind of good foods were you always getting in there? And sometimes like pitchers, they would skin would crack on their fingertips because their nutrition wasn't as good. So it took a while for them eating healthier and educating them on what's going to help them out so their skin doesn't crack and they don't get bleeding fingertips, and then you got to hold them out because they can't pitch.
That's interesting, Mark.
It makes sense because, nutrition in the DR, we and baseball players, for example, eat a lot of plantains, which is a lot of potassium.
Okay.
And meat, it's like the big diet is that, spaghetti. But it's very consistent with those things. There's not a lot of variety.
What did you try to get them to eat more of, Mark?
They probably had more balanced diets, fruits, vegetables. You know, I mean, it's just, and I think it's they had it. Accessibility to some of these foods was always a big key. Like he described, there's a lot of talented individuals coming from that country. But if you're at the private, you'd get probably a little bit more. But if you could be talented and maybe mom and dad don't make a lot of money, same thing here in America. And then it's like, how far can you go? Now, sometimes people, that talent takes you a long ways. But it's a challenge. You just have to balance that out. And like I said, it's one, giving them food, but two, it's just like anyone. You have to educate them on why they need to eat a specific food, how much, and when.
We've never talked about that in the show, Mark. Talk a little bit more about that for like young athletes.
We never talked about food on this show.
I was talking about what we eat. Oh yeah, like, but for athletes, for young athletes, it's like when you just said like their skin would crack from lack of different things. Talk about that if you wouldn't mind.
Well, you know, like we've talked about this, like even basic concept of drinking water. And I've talked about this. I've been probably a very I've never drank a lot of water, and I have a wife who drinks, I feel like, six times what I drink. And I think you start to have to understand when you work out. Like I've told you guys, if I go out on a walk on a night and it's a hot night, I can get about 2 miles in and I can kind of start just squeezing my hand and my fingertips. I can tell that I'm probably dehydrated just because of the feeling. You're like, okay, when I get home, and I think once you start hydrating your body changes. But if you start working out, you need more water. And sometimes people are like, well, geez, I'm now peeing quite a bit. It's like, yeah, you probably are. But then you also have to talk about just basic foods. Like, the Flukies have been on, and we've had Leon about when are you what exercise are you doing and when are you having those foods? So for example, if you're going to do a soccer game and you've got 4 soccer games in 4 days or 5 days, and it's hot out, you know, one, hydration, but two, you know, it's okay to have carbs. But it's a matter of when you're putting them in. You can't wait till that morning of the game and say, I'm going to have a bunch of carbs to get through this. Yeah. You should have been doing that 2, 3 days, 4 days beforehand.
We had the people here yesterday. Hey, Jim, we had the, 2 Marines or 2 military people and from, Western Rack, and they were doing, that starts today, right?
Today, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock today.
Chris, I don't know if you followed that, but there's a, Crucible?
Western Rack.
Oh, yeah, but.
Yeah, basically the Crucible.
It's 24 hours fitness. Starts at 4 o'clock today through the night. What was it?
CrossFit?
No, it's beyond that.
Is it a marathon or is it a?
Well, it's a 10K run.
Ironman.
Rock climb. It's even beyond that.
Oh,
it's designed 24 hours straight
of workout.
24 hours straight. It's designed of hardcore workout.
It's not a model that's out there. It's not like the Ironman. But I understand what you're saying with the swimming and biking. Like Johnny said, there's boxing in there. There's a number of different athletic things. But it's a 24 hour. They do give you some snacks through the thing. But I mean, so anyway, we. The contestants, we said, the guy who put it on is Tad. He works at Western, but he brought in a couple of the people who are participating, and these guys were like just chiseled, and they're like 40, right? Wasn't that one guy 40?
Yeah.
It just
But they were talking, but it's just funny. Their they were talking with the Flukies, and Jim and I both said, are they talking some foreign language? Because they were talking about how they're preparing for it. They had a term for it.
Yeah.
But it's like they're really gonna eat lots of crackers for the carbs.
It's just and using all these health terms that were like, what?
Yeah. Mark, what do you think about that?
Well, and I think that's what it is it's also we can educate people on what to eat. And you gotta remember that one person may come back and say, that whatever you told me to eat, I just don't do well with that. And it doesn't sit well in my stomach. That's why it doesn't matter if it's an Ironman or if it's a 24-hour event. You know, they have these ultra marathons. They're all, you just have to make sure that, and you don't want to experiment on the day of your event.
Right.
You have to try before. Peter Flukie even talked about, he has those little chocolate donuts. That's the fuel that he can splurge on, because he knows it's going to go in his oven of his stomach and it's going to burn through. He's going to use that energy.
I was going to say, it's a little easier to eat healthy this time of year. And I just want to, farmer's market. I mean, there's just a lot of fresh veggies out there. Johnny, I should have brought you some. I made this like beet salad. Do you like beets?
I love beets.
With feta cheese.
I love it.
It was awesome. And then I did have pasta. I made shrimp and pasta. It was just super healthy. Like my kid even said it.
Well, shrimp has a lot of cholesterol.
Yeah, true.
But I don't care about that stuff.
Hey, Ariel, if you're going to be on this show, okay, you just go along with whatever he says.
All right.
All right. He was mayor.
And to find a recipe is so easy now, right? Just download it, the beets, and there's just some great things out there. And you want to eat healthy. I think we all.
But you know what's funny? That's changed though. I remember reading in Jerry Kramer's book, Instant Replay, for their pregame meals, Mark, they would have steak. Is that about the worst thing now you can think of to have?
Yeah, but that I would say a lot of people used to have that kind of those kind of items, you know. And I think you have to look of just how long is your body going to use it, and when is it going
to
use it?
Mark, we got to go to a break. Can you stay with us?
Yep, I can.
Okay, Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette, and former professional soccer player. Oh, we're dropping the semi.
Oh my God,
brother.
Close enough.
Back after this. Always something there to remind me. I was
born to love you, and I will never. You should find you, Mr. Sweet. And tender love we used to
serve. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. Ariel Perez and Mark Houston from Bell and Sports Medicine. Mark, Ariel has a very interesting question for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Soccer players in Europe play like every 4 days. They have a game. When they're young, sometimes even every 3 days. But when they're young, they recover quickly. And after their 30s, I remember watching the David Beckham documentary on Netflix. And he said when he was over 33 or something, after 4 days of it was really hard to recover. The pain that he was going through his legs. So my question is, what is the recovery time for these athletes when they're young and then when they're past their
30s?
I think when we talk young kids, we gotta remember everyone's more flexible. Your body bends more. You don't have as much issues. Your body starts wearing out as you do get older. I think the other thing is metabolism changes. So weight gain happens. So you carry more weight when you start losing weight, you're like, geez, I feel much better. Well, yeah, if you take 10 pounds off a body that you don't have to carry around 24 hours a day, just walking or sleeping, doesn't matter. It's just kind of like, geez. So I think that's the big thing. And in some people's metabolism doesn't change as much. But I think it could be 25, it could be 30, it could be 40. When people stay active, I think that's what's, great about it. I think Jim just talked about it. I do think we eat healthier during the summertime, and then living in Wisconsin, and then it gets colder, and we've talked about this. We go home, it's 5 o'clock, you drive home.
It's dark.
You close the garage door and you don't leave till the garage door opens up the next morning. You know, we don't get as active during the wintertime. You have to really make a priority where during the summertime, you know, it's still light out at 8:30, 9:00. You can say, hey, I'm going to go for a walk where it's not at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock during the winter. So I think it's just not one thing. I think it's a whole bunch of things. But, you know, I think that's what's great as you know, people do get older. If you have kids, you know, do things with your kids. I think it's going to help your kids out, but it's going to help you guys stay, you know, active and healthier and living a better life.
And get a dog.
Which forces that hides you to, under the bed.
Well, no, but he is a little skittish, but it does force you to go for a walk.
At least
and
move,
like Mark's
huh?
talking about at night, it's like, okay, dog's got to go out and whose turn is it? You know what I mean? And so it gets you to walk around the block a couple times, Mark, which is good. And it's a lot easier in the summer, to his point.
But as
a
far
lot
as
easier.
The big thing lately or last few years seems to be recovery. And it's exactly what Ariel's talking about, trying to, like, you know, fool Mother Nature in a certain way because your body says, I need this time to recuperate. But when I was watching that series last year with Kirk Cousins, what he would do is that unbelievably ice cold tubs. Yep. Is that a thing? Some people say yes, some people say no, but he swore by it that changed his career, that he would recover quicker. That much quicker.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's a big, and it's a great question, you know, talking about what does recovery mean? You know, recovery mean nowadays they've got these pneumatics, so they're like sleeves that you can put on your arms, your legs, and they do compression, and they hopefully, if you got any swelling, it pushes it back towards your torso and doesn't let it sit in your legs. So that's one thing. But does everyone want to buy the full setup? No. You know, you could just do some walking after running for a long time, and that would help out. The cold tubs, trust me, the cold tubs is not new. I will tell you, most professional teams probably have had cold tubs for many, many years.
Oh.
But now I think it's become a big thing where you know, I literally have heard people say, hey, go to Fleet Farm and buy the big tubs. But how cold is cold enough? You need quite a bit of ice and water that most people probably are sitting in a cool bath, not really a cold tub. But is it recovery? Yeah. I mean, back in college, I remember we had some European ball players from England that swore by it. They did not like the cold temp. They'd be hooting and hollering, but they felt like it helped their legs recover. They were soccer players. So it's not a new concept. I think it's sometimes these things become fads too. And, you know, I mean, again, are you going to sit in a cold tub when it's 20 degrees outside in Wisconsin? Probably not. But when it's 85 in the evening, you may, it may be a little bit more easy way to enjoy it.
Is it blood flow, Mark? What's the, you know, what makes it work?
Well, I mean, it's probably one, just cooling down your muscles, making them feel better. One, you know, it's going to take some of that swelling that you maybe have down your legs. But let's say you go out on a 10-mile run, you know, and you now sit in those tubs, it's going to hopefully push some of that swelling back. It's just making your body feel fresh. It takes a lot to sit in those cold tubs because you're not just dipping yourself. You're sitting in there for 5, 10, 15 minutes.
I mean, it's painful, it looks like, right?
Yeah, sometimes it looks painful.
It's
just, you know, it's the same thing as sprain an ankle. And, you know, we have people that don't want to put their foot and leg in a cold tub. And they're saying, oh, it burns. It's burning my skin. And it's not burning like hot, like it's
right.
It just feels like it's burning. And then it gets numb. And, yeah, and your body goes through those different changes because you're cooling down the tissue. It's the same thing I've talked about with baseball players is, you know, when what you don't want to do, though, is like a baseball pitcher doesn't want to work their arm. We've talked about this and develop lactic acid. And then you don't want to just lock it in because lactic acid is what's going to cause your muscle soreness. So they go and do a workout where they'll ride the bike or they'll do shoulder and arm exercises and work some of that with the blood flow, working some of that lactic acid out and then ice their arm down for inflammation, and hopefully that's a good routine to get into.
Interesting.
Yep, yep.
Mark, what, you know, so many pitchers, and the Brewers had this year, I don't know who it was. Was it Toronto or Tampa Bay? One of the teams in Major League Baseball, and there's 5 starting pitchers all had, like, the same injury, the same kind of elbow injury. God bless sports medicine, But they just have not found that secret code to prevent pitchers of any level from getting those kind of injuries, have they?
I don't think that there is. Yeah, I get where you're going with this. It's I think kids are throwing sooner. I think kids are throwing more. I think kids are throwing more curveballs. And I heard actually a story just recently where kid didn't develop and he ended up not, and he didn't play all the other sports. And so he started late in baseball and ended up not really doing much with his high school team and really developed in college. So his arm was a lot younger, if that makes sense, when he was in college, because all of his buddies were doing all this throwing at such a younger age. That's why, you know, again, when you're young, everyone can pitch. It's, you don't need to specialize and be a pitcher when you're 8, 10, and 12 years old. Everyone can pitch. Use everyone. Develop, you know, and have them throw an inning, throw a few outs. It's going to help everyone. But you're right. I mean, sometimes it's the routine that maybe a team has them on that they overdid, an elbow or a shoulder. And when you get starting to get a lot of injuries like that, that's why you really need to do an assessment saying, why do we have, like you said, 5 starting pitchers that are on the disabled list and 3 of them have the same injury? Is there a coincidence? Are we doing something right? Are we doing something wrong? Do we need to change something up? It could be everything from off-season training to pre-game to post-game. Are they doing it? Are they following a workout? Are they not? I just talked to a professional athlete 2 weeks ago and said, I work only about half of what the team wants me to work. I have my own routine that I then add into that mix.
Good for them.
Which I thought is interesting.
Mark, always great. I got a quick text here. Pulled my groin once, couldn't lift my leg for 3 days, swam in Lake Superior for 20 minutes, and recovered.
There it is.
Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. Thank you, my friend.
Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us. Now a very special guest, the pride of Kewaunee, Tanner Bortolini. Tanner, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. Tell us about your day today, because when you were probably 6 years old playing touch football behind the Kewaunee Indians at the time football stadium, and I was up there eating matanki, and you were out there playing that, and now today you are fulfilling a dream of every young man that has ever suited up in the state of Wisconsin in a football uniform. Tell us about today.
It's really cool. You know, it's a full circle kind of moment, moving all the stuff down to Indy today. But it's crazy to, you know, look back at where it all began. You know, you started off as a kid playing on the side of the field during the Friday night games, playing flag football, tackle football, and working your way up. So for it to finally come the full circle like this and to reach the highest level is really cool. And it's something I still haven't fully processed yet, but I'm really excited about.
That's what I mean. You know, we always watch those shows, training camp and everything, and these young guys come in and their eyes are wide open and they get a little harassment sometimes from the vets and everything. And I'm sure it's kind of like when you went from Kewaunee to Madison. But, I mean, this is that next step. Huh? I mean, apprehensions, excitement, what's that feeling in your gut?
A little bit of nervousness and excitement. You know, I think you're always excited to go and take a new opportunity on. And obviously, it's going to be different. It's a different place than you've played before. You go from college and being the oldest guy to now being back to being the youngest guy. So with that, I think there's a little bit of nervousness being the young guy coming in and having to learn, get comfortable with everything, all the plays, all the guys around you. But definitely a lot of excitement with that, you know. And I think that nervousness is a good thing to have. It just means you care.
What is your expectation?
Just to go out there and compete every day. We got a really good O-line group there, and I feel really confident in my abilities to go out there and, you know, be one of the best. But it all comes in with the work you put in one day at a time. So just trying to go do what I can, move up the ranks one notch at a time, and do what I can, put that time in.
You're down in Indianapolis now?
Headed over there today. So, I'll packed up.
right. Have you been there? That's a great.
We had a mini camp, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're at mini camp. All right. So
we were there for a month and a half earlier. Did mini camp OTAs. So right. Got to kind of get a taste of everything. I'll get comfortable down there.
All right.
Now moving all my stuff in because we start camp next Tuesday.
Awesome. So you've made a couple friends already. I mean, right? You're not like the new kid walking into school.
Oh yeah, you get comfortable with a lot of the guys there, and a lot of the rookies. You know, you spend a lot of time doing activities together, and you're at the facility quite a bit. You know, you have to do some extra stuff that the vets don't have to do. So, got to know a lot of the guys real well, and it's a really cool group of guys.
What was the biggest surprise going down there? Did you had expectations? Anything that like, oh my god?
I think it was a really cool moment. So we were doing some team stuff, and I looked back at who was behind me playing quarterback, and it was Joe Flacco, a guy that I've watched, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And now to be playing on the same field with him in the same huddle, you know, like, hey, Joe, what are we thinking on this play? And, you know, him, you know, tell me what he thinks. It's a crazy full circle moment because I remember watching him when I was like 12 or 13 and the Super Bowl of the lights went out. So it's just a kind of a crazy moment. But it's really cool to be around guys that have that.
You didn't
experience.
Tell him that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Oh, no. Don't make him feel that much older.
I know. I'm glad you call him Joe and not, hey, Mr. Flacco.
Great point. You know, one of the things, I was watching a thing, Tanner, about the best way to make an impression for a young football player, learn the playbook better than anybody. And they said coaches will notice that more than anything about what you're doing outside of practice, outside of the meetings, learning that playbook. You're a great student and, you know, great all academically and everything. Are you looking at that, like getting this playbook down?
Every day. And I mean, it's something that takes time. You know, the first week you're there, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. They give you the whole playbook. I'm like, all right, good luck. And it's a lot to take in at once. But the more you look at it, the more you study it, the more comfortable you get. It's really critical because if you want to go out on the field and play, they have to be able to trust you and trust that you know what you're doing. So you can't be making mental errors. You have to know your job, know your assignment, and know it well.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing. They said they will excuse physical things. Okay, you need to put your foot back, you know, this way when you block on this play, blah, 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 blah. That's excused, and that's – but not knowing the playbook is not excused.
No, and you mentioned a word that I think is very important in sports and in team play, which is trust. Right, yeah. You got to trust and the guy you got next to you that is going to do his job, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And if you can't trust the guy next to you and you're not sure what he's going to do, it makes it really hard to go out there and execute. So, and on top of that, you know, if you don't know the plays and you're coaching what your assignment is rather than the techniques, you're not getting better and the guys around you aren't getting better.
Cool. Is it like the Packers? Do you got a lot of fans watching the training camp, kids asking for your autographs, all that kind of that going on with
just not riding the bikes down to the field.
Well, I guess they don't have the bikes down Indy, but
see, I think they got a nice little training camp set up where they allow fans to come watch.
Fun.
So it'll be pretty cool. I've never had something like that before for a fall camp, so it'll be different than what I'm used to, but I'm pretty excited about that. You know, having the chance to go watch the Packers when I was a kid was really cool. So to be on the other side of that's gonna be awesome.
Think about that, Tanner. You were one of those kids. Standing there waiting for an autograph, watching, you know, Mark Tauscher or somebody walk by, and now you're one of those guys. Isn't that cool?
It's crazy. I'm really excited. I mean, it's just, like, unbelievable, and I definitely got to stop for some of those kids.
Yeah, I got to ask you, Tanner, have you practiced your autograph?
gotten a lot better at it over the past few months.
You have, though, having it. Let's be honest.
They do. They all do.
Every guy does.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, I think, has to try to find something they like.
Yep.
And so you spend a little time with it when you're younger and take something out that you feel good about, but finally got it down to where it's pretty fluent now.
Right. That's cool.
We got a texture. Are there any guys in the team that you played against in college, and what is that dynamic like?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
But right, one of the guys that is there is Jonathan Taylor, and I missed him by a year when I was coming into college. So everyone told me he was really good, so it's finally going to be cool to see that in person up close. And he's a great guy. Got the chance to know him a little bit over the past month and a half, and he's just a really good guy to be around, really good locker room guy.
Hey, have you ever thought about when you come to Green Bay and to Lambeau, how's it going to feel when you go into that field?
I think it's hard not to think about. You know, it's the first ever away game you'll ever play in the NFL, and it's actually going to be a home game in some sense, you know. So it'll be really cool. It'll be different, obviously, taking the visitor side and cheering for the away team for once. But it'll be a pretty sweet moment.
running out of that tunnel when that happens, that's incredible, isn't it, to think about that?
I think as a kid, you know, you always dream of running out of that Lambeau, playing at Lambeau. And I guess you always dream of playing for the Packers, so it's going to be a little different side of things. But nonetheless, it would be really cool.
Tanner Bernalini joining us, former Kewaunee. I'm trying to think of the nickname. I still want to say Kewaunee Indians. Kewaunee Storm.
Storm.
I came up with a nickname. I wrote their fight song, for God's sake.
Yeah, right,
I wrote their fight song, Jim.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin Badger, now an Indianapolis Colt.
As loyal as we are to the Packer fans, we're going to be cheering for you, buddy. I think
absolutely.
This is like so cool. Love when the hometown kid does well, you know? And you were such a nice kid, too. And I think that, who's that guy we had on from Bayport?
Alec Ingle.
Right. Just a great
representative.
Right.
The
community of families, of you know, and we've obviously met your mother a number of times, and everybody's so proud of you. So, yeah, you're going to, besides the X's and O's, I just think you got the right personality.
But you know the thing, though, too, Tanner? I remember when your mom told me that I want to say from, was it Syracuse that contacted you first? And that was like, holy crap. Really? Big schools are looking at this kid from Kewaunee? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it was the first ever Power 5 offer I got. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And they had like a really good year. They were 10-3 the year before. So I think that was really like a big moment. I was like, this is really possible. And definitely a chance I can do something. So it was cool.
The only negative, I was talking about this earlier, the only negative thing I ever heard about you was this guy we're walking out of. And it was the game you got hurt. Remember you got hurt in the back? Trying to block a punt or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some guy walking out with him, and he was the only thing he complained about was that your parents could have held you back a year so you'd be a year older or something because you're young for your class. And then he said, yeah, and his mom is my daughter.
So grandpa was weighing in.
So grandpa was, the only negative thing I heard about you and your whole career was from your grandpa.
Well, I think grandpa would have loved if I was held back a year, get to play one more year, but I think it all worked out okay.
I think so too.
Yes, it did.
Well, Tanner, listen, we just want to wish you the best of luck. We are so following you and so proud of you. And I don't want to sound cheesy, but not just what you've done in the field and everything like that. You're a great student. You're wonderful with the young kids when you go back to the Kewaunee area. Mm-hmm. Like Jim mentioned, Alec Ingold. It's so great to have two great representatives from Northeast Wisconsin you two guys now in the NFL.
I appreciate that. And thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet.
You got
it,
buddy.
Luck.
Best
we'll
of luck.
You.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You bet. Tanner Bordolini, thank you very much. Indianapolis Colts.
Pretty cool, right?
So cool.
I mean, you
great
know, this,
story.
It is. Yeah. And you like people to be successful, but it's really nice when nice people become
successful.
Yeah, pull
for the good guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for the good guys.
Because there's, you know.
They're not all good guys.
John knows them better than I do.
Well, you know what?
In a lot of stuff.
Let me just say this, though, Jim, and both of you guys would agree with this, I'll bet. The public perception versus what you really know sometimes, sports or politics.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I bet you guys have both experienced that.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yes. But some of it's not. Hey, can I just shift gears back to you? Your writings. I think sometimes in the media, and I'm not being critical, but you talk about all the business openings. This is new. And you wrote an article on some the 12 that are kind of like closing or leaving.
Yeah.
And I think the reality of that is sometimes we have to think about that too, because I think you can get caught up in
12 what businesses
that are like, right? You just
openings and closings that have happened in the past few months.
Okay. But I just think a lot of
I think that to your point, I think that I've missed a couple of closures. You know, I can't follow them all.
Sure. And nobody's going to tell you about that, like the downtown incorporated people on Broadway. That
it's hard to talk about. You know, when you lose
they don't
your
publicize
business.
That part.
No, and the media, TV more than you guys covers the business, the grand openings, the chamber. But nobody's going to have a funeral. You know what I mean? But the reality is that does happen, and I just think that's important that those of us who study downtowns and the economy is that, wow, it's like, where are we going to put all these people? Well, there's some vacancies too. And I thought that was a really good article that you wrote on that. I think I give you credit for, you know, pointing out all the good stuff, but hey, look, there's some challenges out there too.
Yeah. We tried, and this is something that we've talked, since last year to put together this quarterly, like talk about the openings that have, that we've had and the closures and what's coming.
And the relocations, like, why did they move? Yeah. You know, if they moved to Oshkosh, here, if they moved to De Pere, why? I mean, what happened? And is it, like you mentioned,
it's
parking?
Hard, you know, it's hard to do.
They don't move if they're making money, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's hard to do that. Those stories are hard to do with, you know, chain restaurants. But with people that small business owners.
The entrepreneur is going to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right, those chains, they got kind of that mafia. Yeah, we're, you know what I mean?
Let me ask this, and we've talked about this though, Jim, and we got a place just down the block here that is shut down for a while because of lack of workers and everything. And I've talked to business owners, especially it seems like in the bar and restaurant business, where people will just, I mean, in my era and our era, I know we're old, but it's like you had a certain loyalty. If somebody was giving you a paycheck, you were kind of loyal to them, and you'd tell them, hey, I'm going to have to leave in a couple of weeks, and whatever. Okay, I understand. And now they said these people just won't show up for work.
They leave and they don't
come
back.
What's going on?
I don't know. I think it could be part of what the society we live in. You know, people have they just don't care.
Isn't that crazy?
And you know, maybe they feel like, okay, they're paying me, you know, very little, so I don't care, you know, and that's wrong.
But that can really destroy a business, like overnight almost. It seems like.
Oh, you can walk into a restaurant and you can tell if somebody didn't show up because they run it pretty thin anyway. And then if they have somebody that doesn't show up in service, and
it changes everything.
It does. Yeah. And what people don't realize. How important, like in a band, right? I mean, one person doesn't show up. That, believe me, the music's not the same.
You know what? It affects everything, too, because then imagine you get a client that comes in and you have two persons left.
You got bad service.
And the service affects the service. And then this person goes and writes a bad review.
They'll never come back. Yeah. You're exactly right. People, you still stick around? 10 more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks. Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. We got a lot of stuff still coming up, folks. Stay with us. Back after this. Mind of the Mayor here on a beautiful Friday morning, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WSS. And, of course, the Civic Media app. Beautiful weekend we're heading into. I'm so excited. I'm going up to the UP with my granddaughters today and taking them to that zoo. And we got a special thing reserved. We're going to be with penguins and sloths. And although I'm a little bit nervous now that you show me a picture of a sloth.
Well, you can outrun them, John.
It's like the one animal I can outrun. Do you have sloths in the Dominican Republic?
No, but I did watch the video of one defending himself against a jaguar or something, a big cat.
Really?
They're really feisty.
They are.
They're slow. They're feisty. Yeah.
I told him that. Be careful. Oh, we're going to go. You know, John, let's go pick up and pet the sloth. Not a good idea.
All right, fine. So, but Ariel, let me just, this is really interesting. I love it how you have your finger on the pulse of Green Bay and you're not from here, which makes it better because you're wide open. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're a lot more objective. And Jim's bringing up some great points here because that's kind of his forte too about businesses. And I think one of the things Jim always harps on is, you know, you look at this big business, but it comes down to that lowest denominator, whether you succeed or don't. Are you finding that as being a problem for business owners these days?
You know, it's a hard question because there's so many different businesses. I have seen that, you know, and I think that reflected in my article, there were a lot of variety of new businesses, different ones. And I'm working, this is an exclusive for you guys. I'm working on a story about, it's a roundup of businesses that are artists, you know, artists that have businesses.
Okay.
That have, you know, it's easier now to upload a website and sell your stuff. And these artists, they do different things. They do paintings. They do work with glass, blankets. And I think that's happening here in Green Bay. There's many people that are taking the risk to start a new business. Some as a side hustle, you know. They have their jobs and they want to do what they like, or their hobby becomes a business. And others because they see it as, you know, their life dream.
Jim has a firm belief, correct me if I'm wrong in this, that one of the biggest dangers is brick and mortar of a successful business?
It is.
It is. I'm the teacher. He's the reporter. He knows more than I do.
It is the reality. You know, you got to pay rent. And rent is one of the things that cost most, you know, because it's you have to do it every month.
We talked about variable costs, fixed costs, and rent. If you're having a bad month, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. You got to pay.
You got to pay it. So, insurance is crazy now, too. I mean, that's it's expensive. And sometimes I look at these food trucks. I look at these online businesses and it's like, okay, I can work out of my, you know, third bedroom, you know, without the risk of a bricks and mortar and taxes, quite honestly. And yet, you know, that can just take you under if you don't have people. And we talk about that. What are you hearing from the small businesses? We talked about these events, right, that can really help. What about the winters in Green Bay? Did you do a story on the seasonality of businesses? Because you know, got 151, you know, bars, restaurants in Green Bay.
Yeah.
It's competitive, but on the other hand, you know, there's other places that have even more saturation than that. But we're not a 12-month season on a lot of things. So what are you hearing about the winter months and what can we do?
That is a challenge. And that's something that I'm planning on doing a story about that exactly, because this past winter, especially, you know, that YouTuber that came to Green Bay gave me an idea, because he was like, this is downtown Green Bay. There's nothing happening here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, right. It's 11 a.m.
It's deserted.
There's no cars. And I was like, wow, yeah, I got to figure out a story to kind of like see what we can do. And you know, it's hard because also it's not just the winter. It's that after Christmas, people spend a lot of money during Christmas, and then comes January and February, and they're like, okay, I'm not going to spend that much money now.
And or if you're a Packer, go to Packer games, which is
takes money.
Yeah.
So it's a really... It's a challenge. I think I don't know what to answer to that. I will try to find out, though.
There isn't really a good answer to that.
Well, I think there's other communities with the same type of weather that are a little bit more active. And I just think I don't know what the answer is. The other thing I was going to ask you about was I was really disappointed, I guess. I can't find a better word, but what little runway businesses had when COVID hit. I mean, you can't run a business month to month, right? Eventually you got to put something in retained earnings or savings or profits, call it what you want. But boy, weren't you surprised how when the economy shut down, how like 3 months, 2 months, 6 weeks, some of these businesses that it's like, wow. And they went under?
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, I wasn't here in 2019. I moved in 2020, but I did got to see and read about some of the things that happened. And you know, it was hard when you have people can't go out or they have to wear masks and all that stuff. Of course, it's going to affect the business. When people were afraid, you know, fear is one of the worst things that can happen to the economy.
It's contagious.
It's very contagious, yes. And that affects businesses when when you have a virus that people don't know what it is.
And that virus can be more than COVID. It can be crime.
Yeah.
It can be parking. I mean, you know what I mean? Like people talk to people, and with social media, it's like, you know, and we have to be very cognizant to not have another, you know, I'm not saying COVID in terms of the medical thing. We can't have that bad news because business is so difficult. So, and I appreciate you covering, you know, the festivals and the good things. And, but you can see these neighborhoods and business neighborhoods and what I'm talking about. I mean, I was out in Philly with the mayor one time. He took me through a business district, burned out cars, a closed McDonald's. When's the last time you saw a closed McDonald's? You know what I mean? But I mean that, and it just scared. It was such a scary area that nobody went, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got to make sure that we have, like you talked about, good roads, good parking, you know, good lighting.
I like what you said about the lighting. I thought that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We need good lighting.
Yeah. Because that not only scares people, it attracts.
But
Bad things.
And
bad
the things. Other thing is trees, plants, people like that. And yep. It's, you know what I mean? It's just like down in Charlotte.
I do agree. We need to make the cities greener.
Right.
Because like, it makes them appealing. And also, it might even help with the heat.
Yeah, right. There's a whole lot of things.
Last question. What do you think of parking in downtown Green Bay?
I think we have somewhat.
What do you think of the price of $21 for a ticket?
Well, I got mine.
We all got them.
Hey, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette, you're awesome.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, love to have you back. Dennis from the Glam Band. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Stay with us.
Here. Never been away, Hank. Never seen a day.